Wow! No sin. Not even an evil thought. That's what I long for. That's where Jesus is. That's where he was. And he left that to come and save us. The incarnation, Christmas, the birth of Jesus into the human experience. And you know what? We've been talking about humility. I don't think there's any greater expression of that humility than his humble beginning here on earth. Amen? Who is this Jesus? He's the Lord of glory. He is the great I am. He is the author of everything. He's the one who spoke everything into creation. He's the one who formed man up from the dust of the earth and breathed life into him, made him a living being in his own image. He's the one. And yet he comes to us in such a humble way. It's astounding. I mean, it's shocking. It's almost scandalous when you think about it. But really, it's perfect. You see, Jesus knows our pain because he walked in our shoes. Even the way he came to earth. It's really what I want to think about this morning. You know, even the way he came to earth. Let's read the Christmas story this morning from Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. Starting at verse 1, and it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This census first took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem. Because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord. As we read these simple words on this page, it would be easy for us just to continue on and not even really ponder the enormity of it. But Lord, let us just slow down this morning. Let's take a little more fine-tuned look at what really happened here. Let us appreciate what you have done for us. How you experienced and felt our pain here on earth, along with all the other human beings. You became human. You lived among us, unlike others. And we know that you came not born of two sinners, but that Mary was chosen to be the virgin mother of Jesus, the one who the Holy Spirit came upon her and so created in a very special way. We can see that there is something about that ensured that you would come and be sinless, because it was going to take a sinless sacrifice to save us. But nonetheless, every other aspect of your humanity, you are 100% God, 100% man in this experience, and so you felt our pain. And so I really want to ponder that a little bit more today, because I really want to appreciate it. I want to appreciate what you've done for us, what you've done for me personally. Lord, that's the sweetest part of my salvation experience. The night that I was saved, I asked you to show me. And you showed me yourself. In my mind's eye, I could see Jesus hanging on the cross, and you showed me it was for my sin. And it helped me to appreciate what you had done so much more. It helped me to be so much more sorry over my own sin because I realized how it personally affected you. And so, Lord, when we look at the incarnation, I hope that we can see that you did this for us. I hope that we can see what you did for us a little bit more clear. And so, Lord, please just open our hearts. Help us to see. Though the Christmas story is so beautiful, we also have to see that it had to be really a difficult thing for you to come and live among us. Thank you that you're willing. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you're willing. In Jesus' name, amen. So we think about this, that, you know, his humble beginning shows that he really does know our pain. If you're going through pain of some sort, I want you to know you're not alone. Jesus knows our pain. I love that verse in the song, he knows our pain. He really does. And, you know, it helps me whenever I'm going through painful time to know that Jesus has experienced that. And so let's just break this down. Even in this incarnation, I think it's interesting that one of the things that brought him to the right city to be born in accordance with the scripture was that even his family was subject to the authorities. They had to pay taxes. Isn't that interesting? Even later on, as Jesus lived and walked among us, he paid his taxes. Everybody says, man, that seems like an obscure one. But to me, it's one of the most painful parts of the human experience. We pay so many taxes. And sometimes I think as a Christian, I ought to be above that. I'm not. Jesus didn't make himself above it. He actually humbled himself. And because his earthly, adoptive dad, Joseph, was willing to submit to the authorities, it came to pass that when they said, you need to go be registered, I'll clear up any doubt for you on this one. The reason why they were taking a census is because they had a new governor and he wanted his money. So for them to be registered meant they had to go back to the place of their family lineage and not only be counted but pay their taxes. It was the way they paid their taxes. And so all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. And I'm going to tell you, this would be a tough choice if you lived in Galilee and had to go to the city of David in Bethlehem with a wife who was 9 months and ready to deliver. They didn't have comfortable vehicles. So I want us to think that even in this experience, Jesus being inside of his mother, they took on the pain of not only being subject to the authorities, but also being born while in this transition. Can you imagine the pain it was for the mom? She knew it was getting close. We got some pregnant ladies that have had babies, and I remember what it was like. It brings about a certain level of anxiety whenever you know you're getting close. And you're looking at plans and you're thinking, man, this needs to get done and that needs to get done and all these things need to be in place for this because this is a big event. And she's going to have to make this trip with her husband, with her betrothed husband. They were still just like engaged at this point. To go all the way to the city of David, to Bethlehem, and that's where she was going to give birth. And it wasn't like it was this big accident. God himself planned that it would happen this way from long ago. He was going to experience our pain. Even in the way that he was brought to the earth. You know, such an amazing thing. We think about the travail of birth whenever we look at this as well. We know it had to be rough for Mary to deliver Jesus, right? That had to be a painful experience. Do you ever think about how painful it was for Jesus? Now remember, he's the Lord of glory. He's been from forever. He never experienced birth, okay? He's perfect. He's self-existing. He has everything he needs. He is everything he needs. And yet, he decided to go through the birth canal to get here. I know that may be too much information for some. They're like, I don't even want to think about that. This seems weird. But I'm telling you, I started thinking about it. It wasn't like we're not sure where he was before he was born or how, you know, what. No, we know where he was, and we know he chose to do this. He chose to come into this world being pressed and squeezed in discomfort. He didn't need to do that, guys. We needed to do it. It's the only way we could get here. He didn't need to do that. He did it for you. He did it for me. Isn't that awesome when you start to think? The travail of labor. He came into this world like every one of us. The hard way. He experienced the curse in that. You remember the curse for Eve? It was said, there would be pain in childbearing. He experienced that for us. I mean, I was sitting there preparing, and I thought, wow. He experienced that for us. He wanted to experience every part of the pain of the human experience, yet without sin. So I want you to know, he went through that travail to come to this world. He came into a world that had no room for him as well. I want you to think about that, you know? I mean, it's so tragic when we see a new little baby and, you know, we think they have the, you know, grandparents waiting to see them through the glass, right? As soon as they come into this world and at the hospital, they have parents that are just, you know, that's the way, the picture-perfect way that we really want to see this thing happen. But like, when we look at this, you know, we understand. He felt the pain of coming into a place where there was no room for him in the end. And I know that there's a lot of other implications to this, but it just says that in that verse, doesn't it? She brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths. Many say she never had any more children. She did. That's why it says firstborn son. Mary went on to have more children. But she brought in her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger, with this last part being an important part, because there was no room for them in the inn. He came to a world that had no room for him. You know, he continues to offer himself to people who claim to have no room for him. And he doesn't force himself. Isn't it interesting? It wasn't like this forceful thing. It wasn't like, you know, he just put it out there that Mary needed special accommodations. In fact, these were sort of special accommodations, in the fact that you know, this would have been in the same area where the sacrificial lambs were brought in for the temple worship as well. It wasn't an accident that he would be born in this place. It wasn't an accident that he was born in a barn where the lambs would be born. It wasn't an accident that he was in that place, because you know why? He came as the Lamb of God to take away the sins of the world. So he felt the pain of being subject to the authorities. He felt the pain of the travail of birth. He felt the pain of coming into a world that really had no room for him. But I can tell you, it was all because he was going to feel the pain of being the sacrificial lamb too. That was the whole purpose for which that he came. And you know, you can see who it was announced to first. Kind of proves that, because as we read along on into the story, who was it announced to first? The shepherds in the fields? You know? These shepherds were the ones who were taking care of the sacrificial lambs. And so God said, come and look. You know that perfect one? He's here. They had to get a lamb without a spot or blemish. And I'm going to tell you, everything that's in this world, you can find a little flaw to it. But the one without a flaw had actually come. And so he announced it to these ones who would have, you know, would have been out there in the field taking watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. We just heard that being sung by the kids. And I mean, praise God. And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Wouldn't you be? If an angel showed up? Wow. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people." But I'm going to tell you, it got to be their joy first. It was appropriate that they have that joy, because all of these centuries of trying to find this spotless lamb to take to be these sacrifices, being raised for that purpose, and none of them could take away our sins. The one who could finally accomplish this had come. And there he lay in that barn, in that manger. You know what a manger is? It's a feeding trough. But you know what? It was really the only safe place for him at that moment. Because there was an enemy that was going to try to take him out from day one. And here we had the ones who were looking for that perfect lamb who got to be the ones to see him first. It goes on in verses 11 through 14. "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." He is not only the anointed one, he is the Lord. "And this will be a sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling cloths, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." You know, before he could go and be that perfect lamb, that perfect sacrifice on the cross, which is why he came, he had to first feel the pain of feeling our temptation. You know, it would mean nothing that he was sinless as far as paying for our sin had he not felt our temptation. He had to be a man. He had to be a human to be able to pay that price, to be that perfect sacrifice. But he also had to feel our temptation. He felt the pain of our temptation. Hebrews 2:18 says, "For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted." You see, when you're tempted and you feel like being ashamed and hiding, even if you've fallen into the temptation, I don't want you to hide from God. I don't want you to feel like Jesus wouldn't understand. Although he never sinned, he did feel the temptation. He understands. And again, it says it in Hebrews chapter 4:15. It says, "For we do not have a high priest." You see, he's not just King Jesus. He's also High Priest Jesus. He holds more than one office in this. You see, we don't have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, and this is the most important part of that, yet without sin. Praise God, amen? Praise God. He knows our pain. He knows the pain of our temptation. Don't make light of it. Don't hide from him and feel condemned when you have it. Go before him and ask him to help you with it, because he knows and he will help us. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 10, it talks about how there's no temptation that's come to you except that which is common to all men. But you know what? God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear, but will give you the way out, it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13. He wants you to know that he understands and that he can deliver you. There's no place in your life that you absolutely have to sin. Can I get an amen to that? He will give us a way out if we look to him, if we submit to him, if we really apply ourselves to desiring him to deliver us. You know, he humbled himself to feeling that pain of our temptation, and he also came to humble himself to die on the cross for us. Praise God. Let's all say praise God together. Praise God. That was our cross, guys. We deserve that cross. He didn't. But I want you to see how much he humbled himself. Philippians 2, 5 through 8 tells us, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." I'm going to tell you, there was no more painful way to die. He took on the most painful way to leave this life into the next, and he did it for us. Now the question comes up when we realize just how much he humbled himself. Are we going to be willing to humble ourselves to receive him? Now, I'm going to tell you, yes, it's one time unto salvation, but what I'm seeing is we got to humble ourselves every day to continue to follow him. We need to realize that it's going to be a continually humbling process for us to be made ready to be in heaven. That's what God is doing. And in Philippians 2, in the following verses, after 8, 9 through 11, it says, "Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven, of those on earth, and those under the earth. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." I want you to know we are all, everybody on planet Earth at some point or another is going to see him as he is, and they are going to confess that he is Lord. But the question is, is it now or later? Because if we surrender to Jesus now, like willingly, humbling ourselves as he humbled himself, he wants us to also be humbled to receive him. We'll be with him in heaven forever. Did you know he's preparing a place for you? Amen. But if you die without Jesus as your Lord, you will eventually admit his lordship. But it'll be on your way to hell. I know it sounds harsh, but it's just true. I've heard a lot of people tell me, you know, well, I think I've accepted Jesus, but he's just not my Lord. If he's not your Lord, you haven't accepted Jesus. And Lord means he needs to be the boss of your life. Now, that may mean that you're still struggling. You know, totally surrender certain areas over to him. I get that. You're going to be in that state for the rest of your life. There has to come a point in time where you decide to get off the throne of your life and let him have it. And there's not room for two. You see, if you surrender to Jesus now, you'll be with him in heaven. Don't wait till later. You know, some people wait till later and they die before they ever take that step. That later is too late. Let's just make sure that we have done it. We need to humble ourselves as he did. We need to die to ourselves is really what we need to do. And here's what it looks like when we do. Acts chapter 2, verses 36 through 38. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ." This is Peter's sermon on the day of Pentecost. But I'm going to tell you, it's just as true to us today. It was us who made him die. I had somebody the other day, you know, talking about praying for Israel, and they got really upset, and they said, Israel, the Jews never repented of killing Jesus. I'm going to tell you something. It was our sin that killed Jesus. It wasn't just the Jews. It wasn't just the Romans. It was the sin of mankind that caused him to go to that cross. It was my fault. And so when Peter says this, it's to me as well. Let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this is the direction for all of us. Then Peter said, repent. What does the word repent mean? Turn around. Turn away from sin, 180 degrees, and turn to God. And that's what he says next. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's not an optional thing, guys. It's not an optional thing. Repentance is not an optional thing. It's being willing to die to yourself. It's being willing to be humble before God. Baptism isn't really an optional thing either. You see, he says it right there. Physical baptism is part of the experience after you have confessed Christ. And he wants us to know that if we are really his, we will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you're his, you have the Holy Spirit. If you have the Holy Spirit, you'll know it. If you don't have the Holy Spirit, you may know that too. You know how to get the Holy Spirit? Peter tells us still the same. Repent. Give your life to Christ. Follow in that step of baptism. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I'm not building a new theology here. I'm repeating the words of Peter in the scripture as given by the Holy Spirit. Let's just do what he says. I pray that every one of you leave this place knowing that you belong to Christ. Humbling yourself because he humbled himself for us. Let's pray. Dear Father, as we stand here or before you in this place, I pray that you convict any heart of anybody that has not yet surrendered their heart to you. And may the same Holy Spirit that brings about conviction also bring comfort to the heart that may be feeling afflicted over hurts and things in their life that have been difficult. Maybe even sin. They may be a believer that has fallen into a pattern of sin that they really want to stop, and they're thinking that you don't understand. You'd never understand. They may be trying to hide from you, but Lord, I pray that today would be the day they just come out into the open and humbly confess it to you and say, Lord, help me. Because, Lord, you experienced the pain of walking on this earth with us. There were times that you would even say, how long must I be with this generation? It was a painful experience with you, for you. But you endured it, even to the point of enduring the cross. And it says in the word, it was for the joy that was set before you. Lord, that joy is that you're preparing a place for us, and everybody who is yours is going to be with you forever. How awesome. I pray that we would be sure that we're ready. If there's anybody that needs to come forward and just surrender anything in their life to you, and especially themselves to salvation, I pray that this would be the day. In Jesus' name, amen.